your product is being hired to do a job in a person's life. They are hiring that product to do something specific in a specific situation to accomplish a goal.
You just heard from Carolyn Bowdwin, and this is the Off the Charts Business Podcast. As a messaging strategist and conversion copywriter, Carolyn helps growth-focused subscription businesses drive repeatable and reliable revenue with an optimized web and email ecosystem. She's the co-founder and head of creative strategy at Boxcar Agency, and Carolyn is best known for her teaching in Copy School by Copy Hackers. Let's dive on into today's episode. You will benefit the most if you write any type of copy in your business. So that means pretty much everyone. I am so excited to dive into today's topic, which is a term that you coined called Hybrid One Reader. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is, why it's useful, how you came up with it, and then we'll go into how to use it?
Sure. So the Hybrid One Reader is a bit of a play on a copywriting, sort of the tenet actually of how we write copy. And that tenet is the rule of one. And so the idea behind the rule of one is to keep your copy really focused so that your reader knows that this is for them and that what the thing is that's on offer, whatever you're offering, and how to take action on that. So the rule of one is one big idea, one reader, one offer, one CTA. So that's the foundation of this. Where the hybrid one reader comes into play is that we can't always speak directly to one reader, right? So thinking about your marketing ecosystem, you have assets like a homepage. A homepage needs to speak to so many different readers, right? Especially if you have different products in your product suite, different types of services in your service suite, and they might be hired for different things. And so when I say hired, I'm talking about jobs to be done here, right? So the hybrid one reader is based in jobs to be done. And if we think about that angle, what we're really thinking about is your product is being hired to do a job in a person's life. They are hiring that product to do something specific in a specific situation to accomplish a goal. It's progress oriented, okay? And the hybrid one reader is finding overlap in jobs to be done because your customers are hiring your product for these various jobs. You're likely to have at least two or three across your brand. And the hybrid one reader is that overlap between those individual jobs.
I like that. So to give people some context of how the rule of one would be applied would be, let's say somebody opts into a free thing on your website, and maybe you have a little mini survey after they opt in to find out kind of, you know, what made them click, or, you know, what they're interested in or what their problems are, that kind of thing. And then you would have different segments of your email list, either like email follow-ups or things like that. So that would be tailored to each individual group of types of people, basically, right?
Exactly.
So what you're talking about with the hybrid one reader is, what if you're not able to do that because it's a static asset, like a website or something, mm-hmm. where you don't have the flexibility to personalize like that.
Exactly.
And I think that is so brilliant because, yeah, I think a lot of times either we don't have the technical capability of doing it, or maybe we just don't have the bandwidth, right, to have, you know, five different segments and five different versions of each email and things like that. So I think this is so amazing. And so jobs to be done is a revolutionary way of thinking about copywriting or just communication. So I like that you also brought that up. And for people who don't know, can you give like an example of a jobs to be done statement or something to give people an idea?
Yeah, sure. So to take a step back a little bit in this jobs to be done world, there are several different models. There's jobs to be done theory by Clayton Christensen. There's outcome-driven innovation by Tony Allwick. There's demand-side innovation by Bob Muesta, but really they all have this same fundamental understanding of a job. And so in terms of an example of a job, so let's take an accounting basics course, okay? So we might find in the process of mapping those jobs to be done for this particular course that one segment of buyers is hiring the accounting basics course to stop worrying about their messy bookkeeping. It's really stressing them out and they just need that fixed. And then we might find that there's another strong segment that's showing really good signs of uptake and strong like lifetime value and all of those things that are important in building a business, all of those aspects. And their job is actually to know how to successfully submit their corporate annual taxes. Okay, so we have two different jobs. Those sound like different jobs. We're hiring the product to do different things for both of those segments. The contexts are different, right? We can understand that maybe one of those segments, maybe they're a solopreneur. Maybe the other one is more a slightly more established business. We know that the motivations are a little bit different, right? One is a largely emotional motivation, right? Of like cleaning up the mess so that I don't feel so stressed and I can sleep at night. And the other one is a little bit more functional in nature. It's just like, let's do the thing that I need to do in order to tick the box. So those are two sort of jobs that you could have for that particular course.
I love that. Yeah. And I think when somebody is creating a course or a membership or something like that, we are often told to come up with, you know, a customer avatar or like an ideal person. And it's tricky because, like you said, like, yeah, there are so many different types of people and for different reasons might want to use your course or your membership or whatnot. So I love that, that you're able to have different job statements and with hopefully the hybrid one reader, which we'll learn more about, actually talk to them properly in a way that communicates the value without losing people, right? Because I think that's the fear, mm-hmm. is if we broaden it too much, people always say you have to stay niche, right? You have to keep it specific. If you broaden, then you lose that connection and people say, oh, this isn't for me. This doesn't, you know, appeal to me. This doesn't, I don't seem like it's going to work, right? For my use case or for my job that I'm trying to do. So when should you use this hybrid one reader approach in your messaging? And how do you figure that out?
Yeah. So that's a really good question because as you mentioned, the segmentation, that is always an option that's on the table, except it's not actually always an option. You might have tech constraints, right? Not everyone has personalization tech in their tech stack. You might have situations where you have pages, web pages in particular, where you have multiple sources of traffic, multiple types of readers arriving in different stages of awareness. And they are, you know, some are closer to purchasing and some are just finding out about you for the first time. And if you don't have control over that traffic, this is a really good use case to use a hybrid one reader. So the example that we always use is the homepage. This is the most classic example. And when we're working with our clients at Boxcar Agency, that is exactly, it's one of the core use cases. Every client that hires us for a homepage, we are using a hybrid one reader for that particular use. Other instances are aspects like you mentioned, right? The resource constraints of like, I just don't have time to do this. Segmentation is a wonderful thing. And email marketing in particular can make it easier, right? Because most tools are nicely built to allow you to segment. However, that requires resources, both to plan, build, maintain, monitor, optimize, all of the things. And so the more sort of the fancy footwork that you might get into, the more that asset actually requires from your business. If you don't have the resources, you might choose to use a hybrid one reader in that particular use case as well.
Now we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Did you know Access Ally is the most flexible way to sell and elegantly deliver digital offerings as your business grows, all in one place on WordPress? You can create online courses, memberships, directories, and communities, and even sell team access, all on your terms. Go to accessally.com to get a demo and see why it's the business scaling solution you've been looking for. Welcome back.
So the important question, I think, is how do you create a hybrid one reader? Because I think that seems a little complicated.
Well, you can break the process down into a couple of phases, and then each of those phases can be broken down again into a couple of steps. So we can walk through each of those. The first phase is the jobs to be done mapping, right? That has to be done first. So the process here in terms of preparing that jobs to be done mapping, first you're going to conduct research. You need to gather that research, analyze it. And so the types of research that we're really talking about are things like surveys, all of the surveys, right? We need to know about why folks are churning. We need to know, why do your super fans love you? We could know why, you know, if we think about a thank you page survey, for example, right? They've just purchased your course or your membership. There's your thank you page. That's a perfect place to ask what's going on in their life. What's bringing them to purchase that particular product right now? We're also thinking about things like chat transcripts, right? With your support staff, if you have a chatbot or chat support on your website, email threads from support or success, sales recordings if you have a sales team, and especially if you can follow the purchase from initial calls, a demo, for example, right through to the final purchase. If you can follow that path through sales recordings, that is such gold in your research sort of library. But the thing is, so there's lots of different ways that you can research. You don't need all of them. 2 to 3 data sets, different types of research methods is a really good start. You can throw interviews in there as well, jobs to be done interviews. That's a specific way to interview your customers. But 2 to 3, that's a good place to start. That allows you to triangulate your data sets, qualitative data sets here in this case. And that gives you a nice base for starting to understand why your customers are hiring you. So that's step one, do your research. And then we get into step two, which is the mapping process, right? In-house at Boxcar, we have a template that we use for this. It is based on Bob Moesta's work, demand side sales in particular. And you're welcome to grab a copy of that template. It's over boxcar.agency/off-the-charts. There's a little bit of more information about how to use that particular template, but there are lots of templates out there. So find a template that works for you, and you're going to map into that template using the research that you've just gathered. So depending on the template that you use, you'll have different aspects. Just going to map the information as you understand it into that template. That's the preparatory phase. At the end of this phase, you should have your research done. It's all mapped into a template. The way that we do this in-house is we do one map per job. So in the example that I gave about the accounting basics course, we would have 2 maps in that particular scenario. So that's how we wrap up phase one, the prep phase. Phase two is going into the creation of the Hybrid One Reader. So this, we start here. We have those 2 maps that we just created. Now we're going to compare and contrast those 2 maps. And so what you're looking for when you're comparing and contrast is you're looking for the similarities. If you can imagine sort of a Venn diagram, you're looking for the overlap between those 2 maps. There will be overlap. I can't think of a single instance. We've done this for many clients over many years. Can't think of a single instance where we haven't found any level of overlap. So you're looking for that overlap because that's where your Hybrid One Reader lives. That's the ideas. That's the context. That's the situation. That's the timeline pieces in your jobs to be done map that are shared. And that's what you need in order to plan messaging around a Hybrid One Reader. After that, after you've compared and contrasted, you are going to remap your Hybrid One Reader into the original template that you've been using. So now you have 3 maps, right? You have your 2 original jobs to be done maps, and then you also have your Hybrid One Reader map.
This is both brilliant and also like, how did you come up with it, right? It's amazing. So I think people might not realize, you know, the power of doing that customer research. So I'm glad that you started with that because I think we assume like, oh, I need to sit down and just come up with who my customers are, who I think my customers are. But when you start with real data and real people and, you know, the words that they use, the way they talk about things. And I think you often talk about the trigger or the thing that got them to purchase or got them to be interested enough to raise their hand and kind of enter your world. I think those are the kind of things that make writing copy so much easier because you're actually speaking to real things and not just assumptions that you have about how people are interacting with your products and your courses and your memberships and stuff like that. So I think that's so brilliant. So yeah, I would say at this point, you have your 3 maps. What happens next?
Right. So this is, okay, I have the map. What now? What do I do? So at this point, you now have a Hybrid One Reader and you can use this to plan your messaging. So let's bring this back to that accounting course. Okay, so let's say in the process of doing the creation of the Hybrid One Reader, we find that these two segments actually share a core motivation for one, and then actually just a part of the process of submitting the annual corporate taxes. And that's, we need clean books. In both of those scenarios, we find that they are aware and know that they need clean books. And so now we can use that angle, particularly if that's a primary motivator, let's say that it is in our situation. We know that that's a primary motivator and we can use that in our leading messaging. So if we think again back to that homepage, now we can start to message that in the hero headline. That immediately, when you start to like anchor your messaging in the in the use case where we're talking to both readers, something that they actually need and want and are aware of, that immediately starts to resonate with them, especially if you're using their voice of customer. You mentioned that it is hard when you don't have that research in place. You're just sort of like trying to figure out what it is. And what is a much more strategic approach is to actually just go out and ask your customers, right? Your customers tell you what they want. And when you use that language in your copy, so in this example, we would use voice of customer around clean books. Like, what does that really look like for these readers? That can go into your headline. You message that. They immediately see themselves on the page when they land there in that homepage. They go, oh, I know I need that. And that's how I talk. This is for me. It makes it so much easier for somebody to understand that what they're looking at is actually for them.
I love that. And it's just, that makes so much sense and that you would focus on the commonalities. And would you ever pull in some of the specifics on that page too? Or you try to just keep it as focused on the commonalities as you can?
You have to be pretty careful about when you do that. So I'll give an example here, actually. So recently we ran a test using a hybrid one reader approach with a client, SaaS client, and B2B as well. And the goal that they had for the page overall, it was like I mentioned, a PPC page. They didn't have control over the traffic per se. Like there were multiple types of readers landing on this page. They, as a business, had a goal of, hey, we have this one reader. It's already firmly established in the business. They know that we serve them. They come to us, but we want to expand into this secondary market. And we see that we can, because we already have customers that love us and are sitting in this market. So let's figure out how to message to both of them at the same time. And so in the process of this test, we actually pulled some of the specific messaging from the first segment out of the messaging in the hybrid one reader, because it would have been a signal to the other reader, this isn't for me. You know, it was something that was completely unaligned with that secondary reader. We needed to pull it out. As a result of that test, the page was declared a winner, because the results of that test were that our challenger delivered about a 50% increase in monthly recurring revenue compared to the control. And so that was a huge win for this particular business. And so while the overall lead generation on the page itself dropped ever so slightly, the difference that was made up in that increase in monthly recurring revenue, this is like they serve enterprises, right? So that increase in monthly recurring revenue that they unlocked was more than made up for the slight loss in conversions that happened in that test. And so they declared our page the winner.
That is so cool. I love hearing those kinds of actual case study type things where you're using it and seeing the results as well. So if you have more of those, I'm happy to hear those too. And one thing that also came to mind was, you know, let's say, so we talk a lot about jobs to be done. And like when I think about my business, I think about also like people who are maybe beginner, intermediate, or advanced. That doesn't really talk necessarily about the job, but you know, there's different ways to speak to them, like using different testimonials maybe, or things like that. So is that something that weaves itself into the hybrid one, and how would that work?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And this is sort of where we start to see a bit of an overlap perhaps in what we think of as sort of traditional buyer personas, which are more demographic based than a jobs to be done. And so if you happen to be working through segmenting, that's where you might start to get more fine-tuned in the way that, okay, we have the beginner, intermediate, advanced, and they have different jobs. I would hypothesize, based on, you know, your specific example, Natalie, that the contexts for each of their jobs is going to indicate the level of experience that they're at, right? That when we think about the job to be done statement, which generally follows the framework of when I, and then we have situation context, I want to, motivation, right? That's our job. And then so I can, desired outcome. And that's sort of the structure of that statement. And so I would suspect that in that type of scenario where we're talking about experience, that's likely going to show up in the context and situation, that first part of the job statement.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I think so, I love that job statement because it helps you figure out, you know, where they're coming from and then what their goal is and then what their bigger goal, what's most important about that, reaching that goal for them or solving that problem essentially. So I think that, yeah, if you can still just bring it back to that job statement, then you'll figure out, okay, yeah, so those would probably be more when I'm getting started with my first, you know, I just bought a piano, right? And I'm learning piano, something like that, right? I just got a brand new piano. I just put it, you know, brought it in my room. I want to learn the basics so that I can teach my children or something. Yeah. I don't know, right? And so that's like a very specific example of a job to be done. And then if it's like, you know, I just moved to a new city and I'm looking and I lost my piano school that I used to go to and I want to do something online instead so that I can maintain my skills or something like that, or improve, keep improving my skills. Like that's completely like a more advanced person potentially. So that gives you an idea of how to speak to that versus, but yeah, so I guess the thing would be like, what is their commonality would be kind of improving their mastery or improving their skills and practicing solo or something. Like you could probably figure out like exactly what the thing is that they have in common. So I think that's really helpful to have that type of statement.
Cool.
Yay.
And in terms,
all right, so
I was going to say, in terms of proof, right? You asked about proof. How do you weave that into the page? For a hybrid one page, you would then be looking at, okay, how can I start to, if we're using testimonials, for example, how can I make sure that the testimonials that I use on the page are both very closely connected with the job that we're messaging, that hybrid job? Keep the books clean, for example, right? For this accounting course. And also that the people that you're representing are representative of your different segments, right? So we might see in this case, okay, this solopreneur is talking about how much calmer she feels now that her books are clean. And this small business owner with a team of five is also feeling great because her books are clean. And like these sort of representative pieces that you can put into the page so that again, when your reader lands on that page, whether they are the person who's just stressed out about their bookkeeping or really just wants to know what the heck is going on with the corporate annual taxes and how to get that done, they both see a version of themselves on the page. And again, that helps them to say, yeah, this is for me. Somebody else like me has already succeeded and done the thing that I'm trying to do.
I love that because you're addressing both the core piece of, you know, what the jobs to be done is and also the representation in like different types of clients and people who maybe have gone through the course. I think that's brilliant. And sometimes it's not necessarily easy to find those testimonials because you need to have your right lenses on and like looking for the right things. But what kinds of things would you recommend for people who are looking to add that type of social proof that maybe they don't quite have yet, like going out and asking for those types of testimonials with that lens on and being like, hey, did this help you have cleaner books? Like, I don't know how they would approach that.
Yep, that's exactly it. So we've worked with clients in exactly this situation, right, where we write a homepage and we go, okay, we have some spaces here that we need to, you know, from a strategic perspective, we really need to put some proof on the page here. And here are the types of proof points that we need to put on this page. They need to speak to this particular outcomes because this is the core and this is what we need to represent from a jobs to be done perspective. You don't have any testimonials right now that perfectly fit the bill. Let's go out and reverse engineer them. And so that's the point where it's like, okay, Now it's up to the business and us supporting them to make sure that, okay, how do we find these people that are likely to be sitting in this particular bucket and have these particular outcomes? And so this is almost a form of research, right? You can almost include this into research. You can do this through a survey, but you can also do this through an interview as well. And as long as you're asking for permission on the other end of like, hey, can we use this now in our marketing materials and get approval on that end, then you're good to go ahead and use that in your marketing.
I love that. And I feel like all the work that we're doing with this hybrid one reader can be used across like different assets, right? So, you know, we talked a lot about the main page of the website, but that could also be used in all the emails and all of the other pieces as well. So is like the map, you just reuse it in all the different scenarios and it's like super flexible in that way.
Yep, exactly. That is exactly it. We really believe in creating documents that are used by the business. There's this almost ridiculous stat And I, but it's, so audience with an S ran a survey a few years ago, and the some of the stats that came out of that particular survey were something like, you know, 77% of marketers, or respondees, I should say, have created personas before. And then in that same survey, it also said something like 90% of the respondees believe that personas are only for marketing. And that is, when you use Jobs to be Done, that is absolutely not the case, because what happens is that you start to look at your map, you look at your timeline, and you start to see other opportunities for you to develop your product, to better suit the job, to help the person trying to accomplish the job do it in a better way. And better might, it better is subjective, right? It depends on what the person is actually trying to accomplish. And so it's not just marketing, it's innovation, it's product innovation, it's sometimes it's sales. Sometimes, you know, Intercom 2011, they used Jobs to be Done insights to sort of reimagine their business. And they went from these sort of like full stack tools to a segmented, and by segmented I mean Jobs to be Done segmented offerings. They found four jobs in the process of that research. So they repackaged their product, and then they messaged the Helsinki out of that. And as a result, 2016, the co-founder went on they did an interview actually with HBR. So you can read the article if you want to read that article. And they basically said, as a result of doing that work, they increased their conversion rates because it was easier for the customers to look at the product and say, oh, that's for me. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. And I mean, Intercom is a huge business, right? Like valuation. I think the last one was $1.3 billion, something wild like that. So yeah, it's marketing, and it's all of the other things, and it's absolutely reusable. In terms of bringing it back to the marketing aspect, right? If you're working on a homepage versus, let's say you're working on a welcome sequence, or you're working on an onboarding sequence post-purchase, these are going to be different points in the timeline, your Jobs to be Done timeline. And so what you can do with your map, if you have your timeline complete, is you can just sort of pop into that part of the timeline, see what's going on with the customer at that point, and then plan your marketing around that aspect of the timeline.
That's really cool. And when you say timeline, do you mean like awareness of, you know, your product and all of that, or it's more like that's part of the template? And
so it's a really good question. So yeah, we have these like stages of awareness, right? Which copywriters, we all love to talk about these things, and they're really important. The timeline is a little bit different than stages of awareness, which copywriters and marketers really like to talk about, and it is really important. But the Jobs to be Done timeline is a little bit different in that it is more focused on progress, mapping the progress, seeing the customer go from first thought of, oh, I am actually really stressed with my books and it's a problem. I could probably fix this problem, but it's a really big problem, right through to the purchase of the accounting basics course and getting in there, the first use. It's that whole journey from start to finish. And so part of it, yes, is learning about your product and competitor products and silent alternatives, right? The options out there that are not necessarily sitting in the same product category, but could 100% be hired to accomplish that same job. For example, in this I'm stressed about my bookkeeping scenario, you could hire a bookkeeper. That's a competitor. It's not sitting in the same product category though. So in the Jobs to be Done timeline, you're really looking at that whole journey. It's much more holistic than just the process of learning about your product. It's all of the products. It's trying to get the job done as well.
I love that. And I love that you brought that up, because I think, to think about it outside of just like other courses that you're competing against or other memberships or other very similar types of businesses, I think is really helpful. And yeah, they could, you know, get a book at the library, or, you know, like there's all these different options, right? Depending on what it is that you teach. So I think that is really, really helpful to kind of zoom out a little bit too. And I love that you said it's more holistic of a way of looking at the whole timeline of it. So that's so cool. Okay, so Carolyn, is there anything that we didn't talk about that we should mention, or that you think people who are really interested in this should start with, or maybe do more research on. I know, obviously, I'm really excited about having people go and check out boxcar.agency/off-the-charts to go and grab the template. But anything else, like, kind of, they should know.
Yeah. So my one recommendation, if you're like, jobs to be done is blowing my mind and I've never heard about this before, and how do I learn more about this? Go read Bob Moesta's book, Demand Side Sales 101. It is super accessible. It is written for non-marketers to really get a grasp on what jobs to be done. And the subtitle on that book kind of says it all, right? Like, stop selling and start helping your customer make progress. And it's that switch. It is particularly helpful for, like, switch in frame of mind for folks that are uncomfortable selling. So if that's you, then that's a really good opportunity to go and read that book. But beyond that, this is just a completely, it can be a completely different way of thinking about how you approach personas, how you approach your marketing, how you approach selling, the whole thing. And this is a really good foundational book. It is the one book that I consistently recommend to anybody that is brand new to jobs to be done.
I'm definitely going to pick up that book. I'm excited. I think everything that you've shared is so applicable, and I'm so excited that you're also giving away that template, and just everything that you shared is clear and it's just like so systematic. I appreciate the way your brain works and how you can help people really follow something that's repeatable and that's going to work for them and their messaging. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much, Natalie.
Want to keep growing your business on your terms? Then sign up for my free newsletter, The Momentum Memo. You'll get quick, actionable tips to gain momentum in your business every Tuesday. Head over to natalielucier.com/memo to join over 6,000 other entrepreneurs scaling on their terms. Whether you're just getting started or have been running your business for a while, the Momentum Memo has something for you.